glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Exodus chapter 1, verse 2a. And this is the Lord speaking to Moses. You are to say everything I command you. That's Exodus chapter 7, verse 2a. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, November 18th, 2024. We'll continue with our study through the book of Exodus as Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church will be dividing Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 through 13 for us. As you listen, be thinking about what do you worship? Where do you find your identity? And what idols do you need God to swallow up in your life? Here's Pastor Jason Epperson of the CU Church.
So in Exodus chapter 7, where we're at in the story, Moses has been called by God to go deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. Historically, we've talked even as a church family about the spirit of a slave and the spirit of a slaver, if that makes sense. And the spirit of a slaver, the spirit of Pharaoh, the spirit of the Egyptians was to objectify people. The only way you could ever have a slave is you believe their existence is for your benefit. That's the only way you could do it. And the truth is, for us, it's like, how could I ever have a slave? But honestly, all of us understand when we look at someone and we use them for our benefit. Because all of us in our lives have objectified people. You've objectified that person or this person at work, or it's this girl or this guy, but you've objectified someone. That's the spirit of a slaver. Well, the spirit of a slave is someone that finds their identity in being a what? An object. It's someone that finds their identity in literally the idols of this world or the things that they do versus who they are. And all of us also understand what? The spirit of a slave. So all of us in this room understand the historical moment, because honestly, all of us in this room at times have the spirit of a slaver when we objectify people. And all of us in this room understand what it's like to find our identity in being an object. And so today in this passage, it's really going to deal with this. So what's happened is Moses has come before Pharaoh. He's told Pharaoh to let the people go. Pharaoh said no. Their lives got harder. Remember, it got harder, it got harder, it got harder. They killed more of the Jewish people. Moses gets upset with God. They get upset with Moses. Moses is frustrated. He feels like he's failed. He feels like he can't do it. God keeps telling him he can. And then we get to another point where last week Moses gets upset again. But here's the cool thing. God never gets upset with who? Moses. When you, in life, there's two different perspectives you're going to read in this passage. And there's two different perspectives in this room. There's people in this room that view the world through the lens that there is an ultimate creator and his name is God. And when you view the world through the lens of Jesus, or you view the world through the lens of God, when you see a sunset or a sunrise, you say thank you. When you hear a child cry, you're blessed that it has life. When you watch the birth of your child, you say thank you. When you read something in a story, or you watch something on television, or you celebrate the love you have between two people, you celebrate the fact that God gave you the ability to what? To love. You celebrate the fact that you can get frustrated and you can do something wrong, and then you can follow back and repent and tell them that you love them, and you can find forgiveness, and you can find acceptance, and you can find a reconciled relationship. And you know that that's only found in the heart of who God is. It's when you take the field, or you take the mat, or in a classroom, and you go into those settings, and you see the world through the lens of, I'm here with a purpose, and my purpose is not to be an object. My purpose is to be a child of God, and it's greater than any one moment. But then you also can view the world through the lens of a kind of a slaver, which is basically, I'm going to view the world through, I'm going to come up with my own ethics, my own morality, my own thoughts, my own views. And ultimately, the God of my life is not going to be a creator. The God of my life, really, when you simplify it, is you. When it rains, I'm frustrated because I don't want it to rain today, even though all the farmers need the rain. When this person you see, if they can't help you, you don't want anything to do with them. When you don't enjoy this person, you avoid them so you can find someone you can enjoy. When something doesn't happen at the right time, you try to get rid of it because you want it in your timing. Or if God says, there's time for this and the time is not now, you tell him he's wrong and you do it when you want. And the older I get, the more I realize This is just a perspective. The perspective is there's a creator God, and if I view the world through him, I see the world one way. And if I view the world through my own idols and through my own selfish desires, I view the world very differently. And lots of us in this room, what do? We kind of jump between. I better not jump on the stage. It might just, it can't handle all I got to offer. But the reality is that's what you're going to see in this passage. You have Pharaoh who has the view that his world is run and led by him. And he literally believes he is God. And it's hard for us to think, how could you believe you're God? Well, how can you believe that you're going to figure out the way and let's just be honest. And then you have Moses who's seeking God, but he doesn't really totally understand who God is. And the passage starts this way. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God. So the Lord says to Moses, it doesn't say the Lord scolds Moses. It doesn't say the Lord gets frustrated with Moses. Hear me say this to you. Y'all, he loves you. Like he loves you. Like when you do something wrong and you come to him and say sorry, he doesn't meet you with a spanking and a poke in the chest or a flick in the nose. He loves you. Like he took the flick on the nose. He took the scolding. He took the judgment so that you can receive love from him. But I'm telling you, when you view the world through the lens of you and you view the world through the lens of your own idols, then you can't believe someone could love you in your mistake. He not only loves you in your mistake, he took it. That's pretty cool. And so he says that, he says, and the Lord said to Moses, like we read over that, but it's like, imagine this guy has come back how many different times? Frustrated with himself, frustrated with God, and God just looks at him and said, hey, Moses, it's okay. It's like a good dad or good mom in the backyard throwing ground balls to their kid, and their kid wants to stay out there and do it, but the ball keeps going between their legs. I don't love my kid more or less if he can field the ground ball. I love spending time with my kid. Now, if I'm a bad dad or a bad mom, I'm chucking them off their chest and telling them to get down on the ground ball, which, been there. It says this, and the Lord said to Moses, see, I've made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of this land. He says, this is what he's saying, Pharaoh won't look at me. Pharaoh has lived his life, when he sees a sunrise and he sees a sunset, he thinks he's in charge. Pharaoh can't see me in the beauty around him. Pharaoh can't see me in the things around him. Pharaoh won't read these books. I have literally brought the family of God there. The history of Egypt is that I literally saved that nation from famine through my man Joseph, and they've forgotten me. They think that he can't see me anymore. So guess what, Moses? You and Aaron are going to be my representatives. I'm going to tell you, and you're going to tell Aaron, and Aaron will be the prophet. Do you know how well people treat prophets? Not very well, because they remind us of things that God is trying to tell us that we don't want to hear, and the reason we don't want to hear them is because he tells us that you're not God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, we're going to jump into the New Testament a little bit today. I want to read this to you guys. It says these words. This is Paul talking. You yourselves are a letter of recommendation. They've asked Paul, like, well, what gives you the right? You yourselves are a letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are the letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. What he's saying is, you are my ambassadors. You are my representatives. Like, if you are a part of this, like, family, and you sit in this room, and you surrender your life to Christ, guess what? Most people in your office, most people in your school, most people on your team, most people at the shelter that you work in or that you live in, most of those people are never going to pick up this book and truly try to discover who God is. They will not do that. The first impression they're going to see of God is us. It's like, why does that person give me gifts? Why does that person love me whether I succeed or fail? Why does that person show up and they just keep showing up? Why does that person help people and they don't help them? Hey, family, the purpose of the church is not your self-purification. Jesus did get angry in Scripture. He got angry in Scripture when this court of Gentiles, we talked about it earlier, right? That was the purpose of the court of Gentiles was for every tongue, tribe, and nation to see who God was. Well, guess what they did in the temple? They started to sell the pigeons and the sheep inside the temple in the court of Gentiles, and there was money changers. And basically, the purpose of the court of Gentiles became the self-purification of a nation of Jewish people. And what did Jesus do? He came into the temple and he overturned the tables. And he was angry. Well, why was he angry? Because the space for the world to know who he was being taken by people that think they needed to be pure when he was their purification. Hey, family, hear me say this. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you are free. And the reason why we seek him and the reason why we repent is so that the rest of the world can know who he is. And if this ever becomes a place of self-purification versus a place where everyone is welcome, then Jesus is going to start tossing over chairs. And I'm going to be right behind him. But your family is the same way. Is the purpose of your family to represent the king? Is the purpose of you at work? Guys, hear me say this. I get frustrated too. And I don't always do it right. But that's when I can say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. But family, we are supposed to be letters of God. We're literally letters of recommendation for each other. That's what it means to be family. When my kids go to school, they're image bearers of Jesus and they're image bearers of the Eppersons. And if my kids mistreat other kids, it doesn't show the world who God is. It also doesn't show the world the type of kids I want them to be. Now, are they going to make mistakes? Absolutely. But then we're going to say what? Hey, we're sorry. We're a mess just like everyone else. But family, this purpose of this room is not church growth. It's not to build. It's the purpose of this room is we want Champaign-Urbana and the surrounding areas in the world to know how good God is. And the way we do that is what? Seeking him. It goes on and says this, but I will harden Pharaoh's heart and through a multiply that my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. How is Pharaoh's heart hardened? We've talked about this about 4 weeks ago. It says three different times in scripture. One time it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. One time it says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And this time it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Here's how your heart is hardened. What happens is the Spirit of God convicts you not to do something. It happens to everyone. The Spirit of God interacts with everyone, not just you who love Jesus. It's called your conscience. It's called right and wrong, and you realize it. And when you're about to, because the truth, if you don't think the Spirit of God interacts with everybody, well, then how did you come to know him? Like, he called your name. Now, you can ignore him, and the more you ignore him, that's what happens is you get convicted. You're about to do this thing you know you're not supposed to, and you do it anyway, and then you feel really bad, but then you keep doing the thing you know is really bad. And then all of a sudden, you stop hearing the voice because all you hear is the noise of yourself and the noise of the people around you, and you become numb to the conviction. All of us have experienced it. All of us have experienced it. And all of a sudden, you're in the midst of a behavior that originally you knew you weren't supposed to do, and now you do it all the time, and that numbness then bleeds into all the other areas of your life. How do you have a slave? You start by objectifying one person. And you become so numb to it, you think the world's here to serve you. And then you get to the place where you're so numb, your heart becomes hardened, and even the voice of God is yelling and screaming and trying to get your attention, but God's not going to force you to follow him. That's not how he's ever done it. And so guess what? Your heart is hardened. So then someone like Moses, someone like Aaron comes on the scene, and that prophet in them is trying to penetrate that outer surface to say, this is who he is. It talks about it in Romans. I want to put it on the screen here in Romans. It talks about it. This is Paul talking again. It says this, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as a God or give thanks to him. It's like, us in this, maybe we know, we believe. Like, think of our culture today. Most people in our culture believe in a creator God. Probably most of the United States would even say, Jesus, I'd probably go there. But it says this, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to their lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. See, that passage, what it's saying is, if you keep seeking the wrong things and you fall in love with the wrong things and you seek the wrong things, eventually you no longer sense the conviction from God. I've experienced it. We've experienced it. And if you haven't experienced it, you need to experience it. You need to experience the conviction to recognize, holy buckets, how did I get here? And how do we get here? By doing what we want. Then he says this, God's going to fix it. Then I'll lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. What is the purpose of the plagues? What is the purpose of God saving the Jewish people? The purpose of him saving the people, don't miss this, this really matters. The purpose of him saving the people, I'm going to read it again. The Egyptians shall know what? That I am the Lord. This whole book is about redemption. Every single moment is about redemption. He wants the world to know who he is. The first week, remember the book of Acts in the New Testament talks about the Holy Spirit. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It introduces you to the Holy Spirit. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John introduce you to who? This is who Jesus is, the Son of God. And guess what Genesis and Exodus do? They introduce you to Creator God, the Father. And that's what he's saying. The purpose of all of this is I want them to know that I'm God. It goes on and says this, when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. Ephesians chapter 3, let's look at it. It says these words. This is Paul talking now to the church at Ephesus. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he had realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's go back a slide one more time. So it's saying the purpose of the church is the same as the purpose of what? God doing the plagues in Egypt. Now, he's not bringing plagues, but the purpose of the church and the purpose of us in this room is what? So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Next slide. This was according to the eternal purpose that he'd realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Family, here's the deal is our purpose on this earth is so that the world knows how good God is. And the purpose of the Exodus, you're about to find out here really, really quick, is to show the world every single one of the plagues is what? In direct opposition to an Egyptian god. They worship the sun, blot it out. They worship blood, blot it out. They worship the Nile, blot it out. They worship their firstborn child. He's saying, I am God, follow me. Why does he want us to follow him? Because it's the only thing that saves us. He loves us. It goes on, Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Hey, y'all in this room that are older than you want to be, you ain't done yet. Don't be done. And those of you who are younger and you think, well, I'll do it when I'm older, that's the dumbest thing in the world. How do I know it's that dumb? Because I said it. Well, I'll stop doing this. No. Y'all, we got one shot at this gig. You got one. You got one token. You don't wait with it. You leverage every moment you have for the greatest joy and love and fulfillment. And what the token is given to you by God. It starts today. Most of my life's like, well, Monday's a good day. And then Monday comes. You know what? Wednesday's better. How about Friday? You know what? Weekend. Nah. Monday. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove yourselves by working a miracle, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh that it may become a serpent. That serpent, literally that translation there, is representing of one of the Egyptian gods. That serpent, it could have been a cobra, it could have even been a crocodile, but it would have been a representation of a god that was found in Egyptian history and that Pharaoh in this moment would have worshipped. The god that had a serpent head was literally the god that took the Pharaoh and took people and took them into judgment. He was the god that brought them either into their heaven or into their Hades. He was the God, basically, that when they died, he escorted them. That's why you see on the Egyptian pyramids this snake God, because it is the protector of the dead, and it brings them into judgment, and it brings them into something further. And so God says, you're going to throw this rod down, and it's going to become a what? A snake. Why? Well, there's only one judge, y'all, and you're about to read about it. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. But then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. So guess what? Aaron throws it down, and there is a serpent, and it rises up, and it's going all around. Then all these other brothers come in. All these other sisters come in. They throw their rods down, and there's a bunch of snakes. This went Indiana Jones snake fest here. I mean, there are snakes all up on you. And do you think Moses and Aaron in that moment for a second are like, uh-oh, I would have been. I need to tell you something. Supernatural things only prove that it's supernatural. It doesn't prove that it's truth. Spiritual things don't always prove that it's truth. It proves that it's supernatural. Us understanding who Jesus is, us understanding who God is in the supernatural is where we find power. But there's lots of things in this world that are supernatural. Y'all, there is an enemy and he has power in this world. And there is God and he has greater power in this world. You're about to read about it. And this is what it says. For each man cast down his staff and they became serpents, but Aaron's staff swallowed up all those staffs. Think about like, see, I have an imagination. And I see him throwing that down, and Pharaoh's like, oh, serpent. And then all the other guys come in, they throw their staffs down, and all of a sudden, all these other serpents, and they're surrounding his, and they're like zipping at him, you know what I mean? And Aaron and Moses are sitting there, and then all of a sudden, this snake, this crocodile, whatever he was, just like hum, hum, just chowing down, like snakes for dinner. And he goes around and eats them all up. Why did God do it that way? There is one power in this world that's greater than any other power. Darkness can do supernatural, but there's only one judge and there's only one power that's worth worshiping, and that's the power of the Almighty God. For each man cast down his staff, and they became servants, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staff. Still Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. I got a question for you. Today you have heard about and seen in this room, we've talked about how God's power does things. You've heard testimony, you've heard songs about God's power doing something. In some ways, we have thrown down a staff and you've seen God be represented in a room. The reality is, though, in this room, all of us have other things that we worship, other things that we idolize. Do you want God to swallow those things up? This is what I mean. I've never seen someone take a staff, throw it down on the ground, and it turn into a snake. Never seen it. But you know what I have seen in my own life? I've seen me worship a sport. I've seen me find my identity in tackling someone. I've seen me find my identity in grades. I've seen me find my identity in relationships. I have seen me idolize people, want to become them. I have seen me idolize my own self-indulgences and numb my brain by watching television or Netflix or Prime to the point of not loving the people around me. I'm just talking about me now. I have seen a culture seek the next dopamine fix. Whether it's on our phones, whether it's on a computer, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in a game. And the truth is, your life and my life is about, like, we believe there is a God. We believe that Jesus is King. We've accepted His grace and His mercy at the cross. But the truth is, most of our lives, we're so focused on the idols around us, we're not asking God to swallow them up. And He's not going to swallow them up until what? We throw them down. And in my life, when He created me and He created you, He created to fill the void inside of me with Him, not the things that just give me my quick fix. Because those quick fixes just make me thirstier, hungrier, and desire them more. Versus when I find God and He fixes me, I find peace. My purpose isn't found in the successes I have. My purpose is found in the faithfulness to love Him and honor Him. So today in this room, if you've never maybe said yes to Jesus, my prayer is you can kind of see through the other things you're looking at, just enough to seek Him. Because I promise you this, if you seek Him, y'all, you're going to find Him. Today doesn't have to be the last moment. It could be the first moment on a journey to seek Him. And for those of you who have sought Jesus and found Jesus, what He's asking you to do is to keep throwing down the idols you have. Because He is greater than education. He is greater than your sexual desires. He is greater than your sport. He is greater than a relationship. He is greater than politicians or politics or nations or cities or states. He is greater. He is greater than anxieties and depressions in relation. He is greater. He is so much greater, He'll swallow those things up so you can see clearer. And the clearer you see and the clearer I see, the more peace we find and the more love we can share so other people can find that peace. To me, today, I just want Him to swallow it up.
Oh, listening friend, what idols do you need God to swallow up? Are you finding your identity in things that are less than what God wants for you because He loves you and cares for you and values you? Your worth is found in Him. Be very careful what you may worship, as it'll compete with your affections for Him. Now on tomorrow, the Tuesday and Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, we'll continue with our series, How to Get Through What You're Going Through, by Pastor Rick Warren. But tomorrow and Wednesday, Kay Warren will talk about finding treasures in darkness. God can oftentimes conceal treasures during your periods of loss, suffering, and heartache. God has the power to intervene in our darkness, and God will draw you close and speak to you during these hard times. So I hope you can tune in for tomorrow and Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.